All right, well, if you have your Bibles this morning, you can find your place in 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And just by way of a little bit of review, of course, last Sunday morning, we studied and we looked at the origin of the church. Of course, that's after we had done our best a few weeks ago to properly define the church and what the church is. And so last week we studied the origin of the church. Of course, we said Jesus started his church there in Matthew 16 and verse 18, where he said, "I will build my church." And we said that the church did not begin at Pentecost. Acts 2:41 tells us that souls were added unto them. Of course, we said and saw that meant that something already existed. You can't add to something that is not already there. And so we saw that last week as well. We looked at the fact that there have been splinter groups throughout history, and that not every religious group, not every church is a scriptural church. Not every church is a true church. And a scriptural church is identified by doctrine, and not merely by name or age or size or tradition. And so the whole point of last week's lesson was we saw that a church is not scriptural because it necessarily has a cross on the wall. It is scriptural when it bows to the Christ of the cross and to the book that he gave us. So that's what we saw last week. We saw the origin of the church. So now this morning, what we want to look at is moving from the origin of the church to the offices of the church, or to the officers of the church. And so, and we've said it any number of times over the years, that the Lord's church is not a man-made organization. It is not to be operated by personality. It's not to be operated by popularity or politics or pressure or the culture. Because as we've already seen, as we've already established, the church belongs to Jesus Christ. And because it belongs to Christ, because it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, he has the right to order it according to his word. And so now we're going to look at the offices. We're going to look at the officers. And there are many workers in a church. You have Sunday school teachers. You have treasurers. You have trustees. You have bus workers. You have music leaders. You have nursery workers. You have ushers. You have greeters. And you have many other people in the church that help the church run, that help the church function. And all of these are important places of service. The church could not operate and the church could not function without everybody in their place. But according to the New Testament, there are only two God-ordained offices in the church. Of course, number one being pastor, and then the second being deacon. There in your handout, you have the verse there, Philippians 1:1, where the Bible says, "Paul and Timotheus," or Timothy, "the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons." And so there we have it. It's plain as day here in our scripture this morning. We have saints. That's everybody that's within the church. Everybody that's here, you are a saint. You don't have to wait for a church to sanctify you. You don't have to wait for a church to say you are a saint. If you are saved, you are now a saint. I remember at our church in Philly, our head usher, his name was Nick Mangini. And pastor would always, when he would preach on this topic of us being saints, he would say that we don't even have to wait for Santa Claus because we already have Saint Nick right here in our midst, because he's, you know, Nick, and he's saved, and so he's a saint. And so you're here this morning. You're a saint. You're Saint Kenny and Saint Rose and Saint Mandy and Saint Nicole and Saint Jan and Saint Alan and Saint Martha and Saint Robert. If we're saved this morning, we're saints. We are already saints. And so, and then we have the saints, and then we have the bishops, and then we have the deacons. And so you have the membership, the pastors, and the deacons. This is the New Testament order. And so when Christ builds a church, he does not leave it without order, without leadership, or without servants. And so you're there, 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. And notice there, if you would, beginning at verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3. Beginning at verse number 1. The Bible says, "This is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous, one that ruleth his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good rapport." That word rapport means testimony. So in other words, moreover, he must have a good testimony of them which are without. In other words, those that are outside of the church, he must also have a good testimony with the community, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise, must the deacons be grave, that means serious, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith, in a pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. Let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their houses, in their own houses well. For they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And so there's several things we see this morning. Number one, we see that the church has scriptural order. The church has scriptural order. 1 Corinthians 14:40, the Bible tells us, "Let all things be done decently and in order." So we know that God is not the author of confusion. And that is true in the home. That is true in the life of the believer. That is true in a church. And so a church without scriptural order will eventually drift into confusion. It will eventually drift, and it'll be going in every which direction, and they won't know what it is that they're supposed to be doing. And so the offices of the church, they're not honorary titles. They're not political positions. They're not places for control. They are biblical responsibilities given for the good of the body. Colossians 1:18, the Bible says, "And he is the head of the body, the church." And so we see that Christ is the head of the church. Everybody else is under him. The pastor is not the head of the church. The deacons are not the head of the church. The congregation is not the head of the church. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And any church that forgets who the head is will eventually lose its head, and will lose its candlestick. It will lose its light. It will lose its effectiveness. And so now under the headship of Christ, we see the Bible gives the church its first office, and that is the pastor. And that's what we see secondly this morning, that the pastor is the spiritual overseer of the church. The pastor is the spiritual overseer of the church. Notice there again, verse number 1. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. The Bible says, this is a true saying. If a man desire the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. And so we see the first office mentioned here in 1 Timothy chapter 3 is the office of a bishop. Now this is the same office we commonly refer to and we commonly call pastor. The New Testament uses several words for this same office. Number one, they use the word pastor. Now the word pastor means the shepherd. And the word pastor emphasizes feeding and leading and caring for the flock. Jeremiah 3:15, the Bible says, "And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding." And so I was watching a show the other day, Blue Bloods. I was watching Blue Bloods, and they, I don't know if you've ever seen Blue Bloods, but every episode they have a family dinner. At Sunday they go to church, and then they have a family dinner around the dinner table. Well, this particular episode, a couple of the young kids said, "Did anybody else find church boring today?" And so the father pipes up and he says, "Well, Sean, I don't think the point of church is to be entertaining." And that's what we see here, that the pastor is not called to entertain the flock. He's called to feed the flock. He's called to teach the flock. He's called to preach to the flock. And he does that with the Word of God. He does that with the Bible. And he leads people through the Word of God. And he guards by the Word of God. And so that's why we don't let everybody in. That's why we guard the pulpit. Not everybody that claims to be a preacher is actually of God. And so it's the pastor's job to guard by the Word of God. And so, a pastor who will not feed the sheep has no business holding a shepherd's staff. I remember years ago, there was a pastor, quote unquote, and at some point in his life, he stopped believing what he believed. And he stopped believing the Bible. And so someone asked him, "Well, if you don't believe it anymore, why do you still pastor the church?" And his response was, "Well, they give me a good salary. And so I'll keep preaching it even if I don't believe it." That's not a shepherd. That's not somebody that's feeding the flock. Because number one, we have to believe what we're preaching. We have to believe what we're teaching. And so the first is pastor or the shepherd. The second, and it's the word we see here in our text, is the word or the title bishop. Now the bishop is the overseer. And the word bishop emphasizes oversight. Acts 20:28, the Bible says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers." And so the pastor is to watch the doctrine of the church. He's to watch the direction of the church. Okay, which way are we going? And are we going the right way? Or do we need a course correction? Do we need to, have we gotten off the path? And so now we need to get back on the right direction. The pastor is to watch the danger. And he is also to watch the flock. Hebrews 13:17, the Bible says, "Obey them which have the rule over you and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls as they that must give account." And so, so often in churches, people look at pastoral oversight and pastoral authority, and they don't like to submit to that. But we need to remember that it is biblical. Now, it does not mean that it's a dictatorship, but it is spiritual accountability. And so we have pastor, we have bishop, and then we have the next word, which is elder. Elder. And that means the example. The example. And so the word elder emphasizes a spiritual maturity. It emphasizes an example. 1 Peter 5, 2 and 3, the Bible says, "Feed the flock of God, which is among you, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock." And so we see here that the pastor is not to lord over the church. He's to lead by example. He has to preach right. He has to live right. He has to make sure everything he does, as it says here, that he, and we're going to see this, it doesn't say sinless, because we're all still sinners, but it does say blameless. And so the pastor's life should not contradict the sermon that he just preached. And so the first office is the pastor, the spiritual overseer of the church. But the Lord also gave the church another office, and that is the office of the deacon. And that's what we see thirdly this morning. The deacon is the servant of the church. Notice there verse number 8. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 8. The Bible says, "Likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre." And so the word deacon, that word means servant. And so the deacon is not a second pastor. The deacon is not a church boss. The deacon is not a board member in the business world sense. The deacon is a servant. In fact, take your Bibles and go over to Acts chapter number 6. Acts chapter number 6. Because Acts chapter 6 shows us the pattern. And we see here in Acts chapter 6 that there was a need in the church. Certain widows were being neglected in the daily ministration. They were being neglected in the daily ministry. And so the apostle said that it was not reason that they should leave the word of God and serve tables. So men were chosen to help meet the need. Notice there, Acts chapter 6, verse 1 through 3. The Bible says there, "And in those days, when the number of the disciples were multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Cretans against the Hebrews, because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you 7 men of honest rapport, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business." And so we see here the work of the deacon is still a spiritual work, because serving the church is still spiritual business. A deacon helps protect the pastor's time for prayer and for ministry of the word, helps meet practical needs, and helps preserve unity in the congregation. And so a deacon is never more biblical than when they are serving and helping and strengthening and protecting the unity of the church. Notice verse 4. Acts chapter 6 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And then notice verse number 7. "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." And so we see that when the offices of the church function like they're supposed to, when they function biblically, the Word of God increases. The work gets strengthened. And the church is able to move forward by faith. And so we see this morning that the pastor, he oversees, he feeds, the deacon assists and serves. But both offices require more than just ability. They require character. And that's what we see fourthly and finally this morning. The offices require scriptural qualifications. The offices require scriptural qualifications. Go back to 1 Timothy and chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. And notice there, verse number 2. Verse number 2, first part of it, the Bible says, a bishop then must be blameless. Verse number 8. Likewise must the deacons be grave. And so the Bible does not merely ask, well, can he do the job? The Bible asks, is he qualified according to Scripture? For the pastor here, 1 Timothy speaks of his character, his home, his conduct, his maturity, his testimony, the ability to teach. And for the deacon, 1 Timothy 3 speaks of seriousness and honesty and self-control and doctrinal soundness and faithfulness. And so in the Lord's church, character matters more than charisma, and faithfulness matters more than popularity. Listen, a man may be talented and still not be qualified. A man may be well-liked and still not be qualified. A man may be successful in business and still not be qualified for spiritual office. The church must let the Bible set the standard. Titus 1:7, the Bible says, for a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God. And so the offices of the church are not about status. They are about stewardship. They are about faithfulness. And so the question becomes then, well, what does that mean for the church today? What does that mean for the church today? Well, it means this. The Lord's church has many workers. We have greeters, we have ushers, we have Sunday school teachers, we have folks who serve in the nursery, and folks who clean the church. And without any of these things, the church could not function as it should. But only two God-ordained offices, and that is pastor and deacon. The pastor is the shepherd, the overseer, and the example. The deacon is the servant who assists and strengthens the work. And both are under the authority of Jesus Christ. Both are governed by the Word of God. Both exist for the good of the church and the glory of God. And so the church, again, we've said this any number of times, it's not to be run like a business, ruled like a kingdom, or controlled like a club. The church is to be ordered by Scripture. The church is to be ordered by the Bible. The church is to be ordered by the Word of God. And so when the church honors Christ's order, Christ's word, and Christ's headship, the church is strengthened to do God's work and to do Christ's work. And that's ultimately why we're here. That's ultimately what we should want to be doing. Not advancing ourselves, not advancing our own agenda, not advancing our own work, but advancing His work, advancing His kingdom, advancing the work of God and the work of Christ. And so let's always seek to have and honor Christ's order for the church, so that everything may be done decently and in order. Brother Kenny, would you close us in prayer this morning?